Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Amen. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to start there. Acts chapter 4. We're talking about associations tonight. It is absolutely essential that we guard our associations. When I say guard our associations, it's not only watch who we're associated with as far as negative elements, but it is to garner associations with positive, powerful people. We are always going to be surrounded by people who are not saved. God intended that.
Yeah.
But what we want is that all of the influence goes from us to them, not from them to us. Essential that we are the influencers, not the influenced. Now, you've probably heard about Instagram influencers and this influencer and that influencer. We need to be the influencers. That is the mission that God has given us on the earth. Now, we are blessed today to have the online community. We need to find ways to influence people online, to influence them with the Word of God, with a new life in Christ, with our testimonies, our words. Because, and you might want to start accounts where you can just do nothing but preach the gospel. Just tell miracles and blessings and just be out there for people to hear and to listen. That's another story. I'm not going to be preaching about that tonight. What I want to talk about starts in verse 8, Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, this is after the miracle of the guy at the gate, beautiful. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice there's a qualifier there. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We are Spirit-filled.
No.
You and I are Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled church, which means we should demonstrate that the Holy Spirit is in us. Now, when we are praying at the end of the service, we're praying in other tongues. You can pray out loud in other tongues. You don't have to be quiet. We all know one another here. Online, be praying in the Spirit. We may have a time of singing in the Spirit. Sing out. You might say, well, I have a horrible voice. Nobody's listening. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. Do not be inhibited. Do not be hindered by self-worth and self-feelings. Look, forget it. Speak out, pray out, sing out. We are a charismatic church.
Amen.
We need to be charismatic. Shout out during the services. You can shout out. You can shout, you know, I always joking, shout amen. You can shout preach it. Just don't shout sit down and shut up. I don't want to hear that. But everything else you can shout. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said to them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are examined because of the good deed done in this lame man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Again, you know, this is so important that we get this. I was listening. You might think I love myself, but I do listen to the first 5 minutes almost every day, if I can remember. A lot of times I forget, to make sure the program airs. Because sometimes, like one time I was listening, it wasn't my time, it was somebody else's time, and there was nothing on. And I later texted the station, said, was the station off this morning? I didn't hear. And yeah, it had been struck by lightning, and it took some time to get it back on. So, but I always listen because I'm a good steward, and I need to know when we're on and make sure we're on for all the times we're supposed to be on. Anyway, I was listening, and I was talking about the name of Jesus. And I remember preaching that from this very chapter, earlier in the chapter, his name through faith in his name. They didn't say, my ministry, my gifts. They didn't say our office, our call. They said his name through faith in his name. The good part about that is that all of us can use that name, all of us own that name, and all of us can have faith in that name, and all of us can have the same signs and wonders. No, it's not because they're apostles. It's because it's His name. His name through faith in His name. Which means that if we have His name and have faith in His name, we will see the same things. And it is time for us to see a revival. It's time for us to start filling the pews. It's time for us to start sharing with our coworkers, friends, and neighbors in a way that changes their lives. And it's time for every seat online to be filled and for us to get larger and larger rooms online. I think we can go up to 400 right now. And when we fill that, we'll ask them to make a bigger room. Be it known unto you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by the way, whom God raised up, by the way, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved.
Amen.
Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Stop. Do we have that kind of boldness?
Boldness?
Are we bold? Do we have that boldness? Should we have that boldness?
Yes.
How can we develop that boldness? I don't believe that we are bold enough yet.
Okay.
I don't believe we are. I believe we've got to kick our boldness up a notch.
Amen.
To share with people. To declare, to speak. Yes, there'll be detractors. Yes, there'll be people trying to put you in your place. Yes, there'll be people who will disagree with whatever you say. You ignore that. And you keep boldly speaking the name of Jesus, sharing what? The greatest weapon that we have is our changed life. Nobody can argue with that. Nobody can naysay that. Nobody can say that's not true. Oh, you might give them the Word of God, and they say, well, we don't believe the Bible. But they've got to recognize when you give them your changed life, and you say who you used to be, and who you are now, and who made the difference, they have nothing to say about that. That is the most powerful weapon in your arsenal of salvation, to share with people around you. Then, of course, if you've had a miracle, if you've had an answered prayer, if you've had a breakthrough, if you've had a raise, a promotion, a new job, in answer to prayer, if you've had a healing, whatever it may be. And by the way, and those people online would agree, you know, we have the power-ups Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Patty's in the power-up. Brenda's almost always in the power-up. We never hear her speak. She never has her mic on. But she's there. We see her there. She's at work. So she, you know, and she's part of the power-up. But and Laverne's part of the power-up. And a lot of you online are part of the power-up. And then we have the prayer call on Tuesday and Thursday. We just have a few people in the prayer call. But I'm telling you, those people that are in the power-up and the prayer calls, would you agree with me? They're getting like answers like this to prayers. We're praying a prayer on, right, Laverne? We're praying a prayer on Monday, and by Wednesday, the report is in already. They're bringing the good report for the answer. We are seeing an acceleration of answered prayer and breakthroughs and miracles. It's by association. Association does not have to be physical like here, but like here. That's why I say, when I said earlier about associations, like if you keep the television on a lot, that's an association. This is a dangerous thing that happens today. People put the television on. See, when I was growing up, kids, don't make fun of me. We didn't have a TV until I was like, I don't know, 7 years old. So when I was a little baby, they couldn't put the TV on to keep me company. People do that, you know, they put the TV on. And to keep their babies or their little children company, and the children just, you know, they just focus on that. And also, people give their kids iPads now to play with and to keep them company. This is all electronic, and it is not a good association. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. I don't really want to talk about that. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. Now, let's hope they don't perceive that about us, okay? Let's just hope that they don't say about us, well, they're bold, but they're stupid. You know, that's basically what they're saying here. Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge They had been with Jesus. There it is. They recognized that this miracle that they just witnessed, that they could not say anything against, was because these two men had been in association with Jesus. You and I should be in association with Jesus every single day. The more we are in association with Jesus, the more of Jesus we will see in our lives. The more miracles, the more signs, the more wonders, the more breakthroughs, the more answered prayer we will see. Listen, we've got to kick that up a notch. We don't see enough Jesus in our lives. We don't hear enough Jesus in our lives. They took note. They recognized this is not because they're smart. This is not because they're learned. This is because they were with Jesus. You don't have to be smart, but it helps. You don't have to be learned, but it's nice. But you do have to be with Jesus.
Amen.
We don't just spend time with Jesus on Sunday morning. Do you know how many Christians? That's it. That's the only time they spend with Jesus, Sunday morning. And sometimes he's not even there. They think he's there, and he's not even there. Some people spend time with Jesus Sunday morning and midweek. That's a little better. We need to spend time with Jesus every day. And you know the ways. Of course, reading the Word of God, praying, but there are other ways. When we walk in the Spirit, we're spending time with Jesus. When we walk by faith, I mean challenging the impossible, we're spending time with Jesus. When we act like him, talk like him, think like him, we are spending time with Jesus. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ before we go out, we are spending time with Jesus. When we recognize we're new men and women in Christ and the old is dead, we leave behind the things that are old and we reach forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling, we are spending time with Jesus. Each and every, and when we are soul winning, when we are sharing our faith, we are spending time with Jesus, freely giving what we have freely received. Now, there are three things that I want to show you that are essential for association. I'm going to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 10 for the first. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. This has to do with Saul. When Saul was anointed by Samuel, Samuel told him a few things. And I'll pick up in verse 5. You found it yet? 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5. After that, you shall come to the hill of God. Now there's a garrison of the Philistines there, but it'll come to pass that when you are come to the city, that you shall meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with musical instruments, and they shall be prophesying. All right, so now we find out they're prophets, they have musical instruments, and they're prophesying. And the Spirit of the Lord, and this implies the Spirit that is upon them, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. Now, what is he saying? He's telling us that when we are in the company of people that are filled with the Spirit of God, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, will come on us in a similar way. Now, years and 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 years ago, there was a pastoral couple out in Tulsa, had a big church, and they moved in the gifts of the Spirit, husband and wife. And I don't know which way it went, but one would give a diverse tongue, the other would give the interpretation. And it was very powerful. The interesting thing was that in that church, there were probably half a dozen to a dozen husband and wife teams that moved in the same gifts in the same way. You might say, oh, they're just copying the pastor. No, they weren't copying the pastors. The anointing upon the pastors came upon them. I'm waiting for you all to grow beards. Okay, now that's just being silly, but this anointing. You notice, let me put it this way. You notice not everybody can take the heat here. Did you notice that? Not everybody can take the heat. When I say the heat, I mean the fire of God. The fire of God falls in our services, when the word of God is going forth in a unique way, there's a unique anointing. Every church has a unique anointing. Every pastor, everyone that's called of God has a unique anointing. This anointing is a unique anointing, and you are called to be here and to hear this word and to sit under this word. There are people online that have been with us 25, 30 years, listening to the word, not always sitting right in front of us, but traveling, being other places for times of their life, but coming back to hear the word of God, coming back to be a part. We are so blessed that in this day, we can not only have it in person, but online, and people, no matter where they are, can be a part of this word. Because there are things that I'm not strong in, but areas that the Lord has put upon me, I will give you to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That is our call, to do the work of the ministry. Most believers, even Christians and believers, they're here to soak up the word. And I want you to soak up the word, but I want you to soak up the word to give it away. You are soul winners. You are called to be soul winners. You are called to influence others. You are called to associate with people and allow the Spirit of God to flow from you to them, changing their lives with the power of God, the Spirit of God, with the name of Jesus. Here, because Saul was in the company of the prophets, the Holy Spirit leapt on him. Now, that's like anointing, the anointing. The anointing, when the anointing is on somebody, it's visible. If you get close to them, you might get some of it on you. If you touch, you get some on you. And I'm talking about the anointing oil. And the anointing of God will come upon the people. There's an anointing here that you won't find elsewhere. There's an anointing here that is unique, worldwide. It's a world vision anointing, not the organization, but it's for the world. And it's a soul-winning anointing. It's to change lives, to freely give what we freely receive. Let's move on to Elisha. 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and hit the waters, and they divided here and there, so the two, Elijah and Elisha, went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha said, "I ask for a double portion of your spirit to be upon me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, not going to happen." Now, the first point that I made back with Saul was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes by association. If we were in a church or a group or a prayer group that never, ever, ever prayed in the Spirit, you probably would not be strong in praying in the Spirit. One time, we were helping a church get started. It was in a very small area, small community, and they would ask us to come out and preach, and we would preach. It was in a home, and it was a good group of people. They were sincere. They were born again. They were Spirit-filled. And then they informed us that they had found a church to move the service into. It was a non-Spirit-filled church, and they weren't just going to use the building. They were going to merge with that church. And we counseled them against it and said, "How is that going to work? They're not Spirit-filled. They don't believe in being Spirit-filled and praying in tongues, and you are. Well, we are just going to be very sensitive to one another." And we told them, what that means is you are going to stop praying in the Spirit. You are going to stop moving in the Spirit out of deference to them. You cannot go back. You must go forward. Anyway, they merged anyway. They didn't listen to us. They merged anyway. And they just, that was it. So much for the charismatic move of God in their lives. We will be who we associate with if we allow it. We must allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives and influence other lives. We are not to quench the Spirit. The Word of God says, quench not the Holy Spirit. So we are who we are. And we're not obnoxious. I'll tell you another story. Before COVID, we'd go out soul winning, knocking on doors, and we did the same thing in D.C. And in D.C., they'd stand on street corners and sometimes knock on doors. Well, this one time, I think we were knocking on doors, and we had one team that would always come back, and they had the most negative results. They never, ever had a good report when they would come back. They would say people are nasty to them. People just didn't, just nobody responded to them. And we could never figure out why until somebody told us their method of soul winning. And what it was, we always go out two by two. One person would knock on the door and speak to whoever answered the door, and the other person would stand off to the side praying in the Holy Spirit out loud, praying in tongues out loud. Well, we're talking about unbelievers. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't preach in tongues. There's a time for a diverse tongue, but I don't preach in tongues. And so that would turn the people. Other people thought they're crazy. No wonder they had a negative report every single time. Nobody would receive them. You pray in the Holy Spirit before you get to the door. While you're walking from house to house, you can pray in the Spirit. Before you leave the church to go out, you can pray in the Spirit. When you're in your car, you can pray in the Spirit. But when you're knocking on the door, speak in English. It just makes sense. It's common sense. So here, Elijah tells Elisha, faithfulness will be the key. Because the story. I don't have to read the whole story. Elijah goes from here to there to here to there to here to there to here to there. And Elisha sticks right with him. Faithfulness. How many people do you know are exemplary at faithfulness? And how many people that you know are exemplary at faithlessness? Right? Faithful and not faithful. And when I say faithful, I don't mean to one another. I mean to the Lord, to the church. It always astounds me that people will say, oh, this is my church. I love it, I love it, I love it. Never leave it. And boom, out the door. Where'd they go? Yeah, it's amazing to me. Faithfulness. When you are faithful, you keep going. When you are faithful, you will see. He said, if you are faithful to me, you will get a double portion of the Holy Spirit. You will get a double portion. If you run through the Word of God and you compare the miracles of Elijah with the miracles of Elisha, you'll find Elisha had twice as many, the double portion, including after he was dead. You know that story, right? After he was dead, he's buried, and some guy, he's about to bury one of his dead relatives, and somebody was attacking. And so he panicked, and he saw the stone. He moved the stone. It was a tomb. He throws the body in there, the body of his relative. As soon as the body touched the bones, happened to be Elisha's tomb. He didn't know. As soon as it touched the tomb, touched the bones, he comes back to life. Can you imagine such an anointing that even your bones, after you're dead, have power? Now, we can laugh all we want about the Middle Ages and the whole concept of relics, but his bones brought somebody back to life. Now, I'm not saying we need to go get relics and bones and everything, but there is a basis for that Middle Ages faith. All right, let's go to number three. Or number four, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that's unpretended, that's real, genuine faith that is in you, which was first in your grandmother, Lois, and then your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded also in you. Faith. Third thing is faith. First, the Holy Spirit. Second, faithfulness. But third, faith. This is mountain-moving faith. This is prayer-answering faith. This is powerful faith. This is walking by faith. This is standing on the Word of God by faith. This is standing when everybody else is falling, standing when nothing's going right, standing when everybody's letting you down, standing when it seems like you are out in left field, you are still standing because God's Word says it, you believe it, and you're standing for it. Everybody may be criticizing you. Job was standing and the people are saying, oh, curse God, his wife saying the same thing. He stood, he believed, he trusted. This kind of faith. That's the kind of faith I see here and online. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. What does this have to do with the faith? Well, when people get into fear, they get out of faith. If you get into fear of other people, you get out of faith. If you get into fear of circumstance, you get out of faith. If you get into fear of symptoms, you get out of faith. The enemy is a master of fear. And wants to rob us of our faith. And he will raise up circumstances, symptoms, evil reports, other people in order to cause fear. And no matter what we call it, we can call it stress. We can call it all those different words we have today. It boils down to fear. And when we entertain fear, we no longer are entertaining our faith or utilizing our faith. But absolute faith will drive out fear. You've not received the spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit's a spirit of faith. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure, and he walked by faith, moved mountains, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, healed the lepers. That was all faith talking. Faith talks. Faith has a voice. It's our voice. Talks through us. You've not received the spirit of fear. What have you received? The spirit of power. Faith is power. We have a power that we never used to have. Before I was saved, I couldn't stand against cancer. But once I got saved, I could stand against cancer and believe for it to back down. Have you ever seen, maybe you've not witnessed it yourself, but in a movie where there's some kind of an animal, wild animal attacking, and they tell them, look it straight in the eye. Don't take your eyes away from it. Look it straight in the eye. And that animal might back away, might get spooked. Now, inside, you may be full of fear, but you keep that gaze, right? You don't look away. You don't run. You just look it down, stare it down. And animals, many times, will back down. I know I keep saying many times. It's that one time they don't that you're in trouble. Then, hopefully, you've got an escape route. That's what? Yeah. But we need to look fear right in the face, and don't back down. You speak the word of God. Whatever that circumstance is, whatever that thing is that's trying to cause the fear, you stare it right down. And you just take authority over it in Jesus' name. Because fear has torment, and you don't want to be tormented by fear. The spirit of power. We have power in Jesus' name. Power in resurrection life. Power in the blood, power in the spirit, power in the word. We are fully empowered. Spirit of power, spirit of love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. God is love and he is faith. It works by love. So we need to have the love of God in our hearts, which means we don't hate the people around us, no matter how much harm they're trying to do. We love them into the kingdom of God.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.